Property of Left Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, it is Loveline. I am Dr. Drew. He is Adam Carolla. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. And if I sound funny, it is because I am on a cell phone. All those years that I've been disparaging Mr. Carolla for coming in late to the studio, tonight is my first night to do this. And so in the interest of being real and being, I'll just take it on the fly like this. And so I'm like a block away from the radio studio. The reason I'm on the phone, the reason I am a minute and a half late is I had the great good fortune of doing Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight with Mr. Carolla. And they gave me every assurance. They guaranteed me I'd be out of there on time. And 9:40 rolls around, and I still hadn't done my segment yet. So it was really delightful. I'm actually outside the studio right now, and I'll be in just a second. I had the opportunity on that show to talk about something I like talking about best. That is my book, Cracked. And, those of you that have been supportive for it, I thank you very much. It's a book I wrote about my personal experiences and my day job, taking care of people was sick with very, very severe addictive disease. And right now, I'm at a red light. I'm treading water. Anderson, maybe could I have a phone call while I make my way into the studio there?
Do you really want to do that?
I think I've got time for one phone call. I'm literally out at the gate right now, and why don't we take a phone call? And if you guys lose me, it's because I'm walking into the studio. And I don't know if the show has reached new heights or new depths, but I apologize.
It's new valleys, dude, for sure, new depths.
You know, I just got my this is great. I want to take a phone call.
All right, here you go. You got Andrew. He's from Utah. He's 15 years old. His 14-year-old girl pal wants to lose virginity to him when she turns 15.
Is the band Thrice there, by the way?
I'm not there. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's our guest tonight.
Here's Andrew.
Hello?
So, hey, Andrew?
Yeah.
This is Total Chaos because Drew just dropped off. So I'm going to put you back on hold. We're all going to enjoy the Drew Boogie. Here, I'm going to have to hook it up. Hold on. Okay, working on the Drew Boogie.
Ow!
Drew Boogie. I seem to have lost the Drew Boogie, which, okay, here we go. And please enjoy the Drew Boogie. Drew will be with us in 1 minute. Thank you.
Ow!
Get down, get down.
Have sex with me. Gee, it hurts. Have sex with me. Faggot better have sex with me. I want to have sex with me.
I was born.
So I had anal sex. Gee, it hurts. I'm still a virgin.
Tried to be straight, or I thought I should be straight, and I was confused.
Hurt me.
You know,
pee on this makes me sick. Hurts when I urinate. It makes me sick. Anal sex makes me sick. This guy's penis makes me sick. I've had anal sex, but felt no effect. Got these lesions. Gee, it hurts. Still a virgin. Makes me sick. It's called intimacy. Can I say that?
Ow!
You're fat.
Ow!
You're gay.
Ow!
Confused.
Ow!
You're sick.
Ow!
You're overweight.
Ow!
You're still a virgin.
Ow!
You're dysfunctional.
Ow!
Not acceptable.
Dr. Drew is right.
That's right. That about sums up the night this evening. The band is Thrice. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me this illustrious evening when... I was a minute and a half late to the show. I don't think I've ever been late to the show before. So this is a first for Loveline, and I promised our producer that this wouldn't happen, and I was promised that I would be let out in plenty of time to drive from the Hollywood and Highland, where Jimmy's studio is, to Culver City. Where
hey,
we're
Drew.
Right?
The city stuff.
Yeah, Anderson.
Just to let you know, Anne is very pissed off.
I don't blame her.
She's
how about me?
Very pissed. No, she's pissed. She's pissed at you, though.
I don't blame her.
Oh, yeah.
What can I do? Listen, I was there. Tell her that... Valerie, she'll appreciate this, totally melted down over there. So, here we are. I was given every assurance we'd be here on time. So, gentlemen, how's it going?
It's going good. Very well.
And the CD is called?
The Artist in the Ambulance.
What does that refer to?
It's kind of in reference to a short story by a guy named Al Burian, but it's kind of asking the question as artists, is there kind of more that we can do, like, in our music and also outside? Kind of we work with charities on each record and... So, that's the basis of it.
Interesting. You guys are from Orange County, right?
Yep. Yeah.
For those that are listening around the country, it's a small but very famous county just outside of Los Angeles. They've now made a TV show about it.
A terrible show about it now.
Yeah. You mean
it's
really, it isn't really like that?
Oh, yeah. It's totally like
that. It's exactly like that. Okay.
I still haven't seen that yet.
All right. You guys ready to take some calls?
Yeah.
And we'll be here in just a couple minutes. And here is Anthony, who's 23. Anthony.
Hey, Anthony. Dr. Drew, this is Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, I just want to say I love your show. I think you're really great, and you give a lot of good advice, so that's why I'm calling.
Thank you. Are you mad that I was a minute and a half late tonight?
You know, I'll let you off this time, but
thank you.
Next time.
It'll never happen again.
Well,
I don't know what to say. There's nothing I can do to take it away. It happened.
All right. My question is, I'm 23, and I call because there was a comment that Adam actually made the other night about, you know, 24-year-old guys that, you know, if they've never had a relationship or still a virgin, you know, that's kind of kind of a weird thing, and you know that's kind of almost my situation.
This is not my opinion. He will say, "Oh, it's got to be some religious thing."
Actually, it's totally not any religious thing.
Not been my experience. I think some people make that choice for various reasons, and it works for people.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, with my situation, it's not really my choice, really, because I've been trying to meet and date girls and things, and have a relationship, but it just never really worked out that way, and it just seems to me like, at what point does it get to be, kind of weird if a girl finds out that, you're 23 or 24? And
what do you guys think?
Never had a serious
Is that ever weird? You're 40, it'd
I think
weird.
It depends on the girl. Like, I don't know.
Do you think most women would be kind of be intrigued by that?
Maybe.
Probably.
I mean, I think it'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't try to look for a date that, like, I gotta find a girl by this day because otherwise they're going to think I'm weird.
Right. The irony with our callers is that this 23-year-old guy will call and say, I made a pledge of virginity, I'm abstinent, but I got to get this over with, I got to get a prostitute. Yeah. I mean, it's like, wait a minute, why did you dedicated all this value to this, and now you're going to just completely trash it?
There's no schedule. Like, what schedule are you holding yourself to?
Right. Well, it just seems,
he's worried that he's going to be embarrassed if women are going to judge him.
I think I'm more worried that it'll be come to a point where if I'm 24, 25, 30, that if I
30, I'd look into it. I'd look into it at 30.
Yeah.
All right.
We all agree 30 is the threshold. Okay.
Sure. Sounds good. Thanks, Doctor.
All right, Anthony. Good for the call.
Bye.
Thank you. This is Chuck, who's 15. Chuck.
Hi.
Hey, Chuck. What's up?
My problem is there's two girls that like me, and one of them's very attractive.
Whatever.
And not very sexual. And one of them is non-attractive, but very sexual.
So they're both very sexual.
Yeah.
The one he likes is not sexual. Oh, okay. So at 15, you're already thinking about exploiting somebody?
Well, I've already had sex like countless times.
You've already had sex what?
Countless times. I mean,
countless times.
That's
countless
not. Times. Sex isn't really the problem. It's just I'm having a dilemma of which one to pick.
I would.
Either the one care about.
Yeah, the better I think personality.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't like.
There's no question. There's no question. You're not asking a question.
You don't like personality.
You're saying one, I like one, and I don't like the other. What should I do?
Yeah.
He's not even saying that. He's saying one's good-looking and one's not.
Yeah, but he said she's sexy, but I'm not into her. It's sort of what he said. Right?
Yeah, well.
There you go.
I like one of them.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's it. That's it. There you go. You've just answered
it. You win. That's the winner right there.
Actually, I don't think that was a real thing. Sort of no question there.
I don't like this girl, but I like this girl.
Okay, this is kind of one for me here. This is Lulu 16.
Hi, I have a question.
Yeah.
For Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And my breasts aren't even, and it doesn't really matter to my boyfriend, but it's a big tick with me. And
a big what? Tick. It's a big tick
with you? She has ticks.
Tick. Yeah. And I was wondering what kind of procedures I would have to go through.
Hang on, I'm still intrigued. A big tick, like a big deal?
Yeah.
Big tick.
Yeah.
Is that a Georgia term?
No, it's not a Georgia term.
Not a Georgia term. All right. And you want to change this?
Yeah.
That's a very common thing for there to be a difference, even of one cup size. Is it one cup size or a couple cup size?
One cup size.
One cup size. That's very, very common. And the different directionality and sort of, the symmetry of things can be off. And plastic surgeons do a lot of repair. If you listen to our show last night, we had a guy up here that was a urologist and a plastic surgeon. His opinion was, if you're not happy, fix it. We can fix these things easily. Go fix it. And I'm sure that's what he would recommend.
But do you know what kind of procedure it would be?
They do, I suspect, an augmentation on the one. That's smart.
Okay.
To even things out, okay?
Okay.
But do you go check, consult with a cosmetic or plastic surgeon?
Huh?
Consult with a cosmetic and plastic surgeon and get an opinion. We'll see what can be done.
All right.
At 16, though, they might ask you to wait till 18 just to see if things sort of do even out with time, because sometimes they do. So you guys on a tour?
We just got back. We've been kind of touring all year, but we're just in Europe.
Is that wild? Did you ever expect it?
Is that weird that we're in Europe? Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
totally crazy.
Where'd you go?
We went all over the place. We went to some places we hadn't been, like Norway and Sweden, Belgium. We went to Italy, where we've been before, in the UK and Germany.
Do you guys have girlfriends or anything out here? Do you leave people behind?
I have a wife.
Wife? You're married? Okay, you're married. Kids?
Nope.
Oh, that's somebody's waving in there. That must be your wife.
Yes.
And does she get to go on the tours with you?
She'll come out sometimes. She has school and stuff, so.
Oh, my goodness. That's got to be hard.
Yes, it is. But we actually have, like, 3 weeks off now, which is total what we've had off this entire year, so.
That's grueling. People don't really appreciate what that means to be, you know, sort of living out of a bus.
Yeah.
And especially when your wife's, you know, the other side of the ocean and your family.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it very much at all if I didn't, like, have my wife at home. I don't know. It's definitely not, like, a very comfortable lifestyle, but it's fun. I don't know. You get to see a lot of cool places, and I definitely don't take that for granted.
Right. That's great. How about you? Is there...
No, I'm single. But, I mean, I miss being around my friends and my family and stuff like that.
Just having, like, your own... Like bathroom
yeah, awesome. Bed. You know, bed. All right, let's take a call here. This is Kelly, who is 22. Kelly?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
I have a weird question. Generally, I just assume that guys look at porn for, like, the rest of their lives.
Well, whatever.
Well, I know, but what happened was the other day, I had gone to sleep. My husband stayed up all night, and he had told me he was up playing, like, video games and stuff, but come to find out, I saw in our computer he had downloaded a bunch of porn.
Mm.
Which generally I would assume, okay, you know, they would do that if they're not getting any or whatever. Well, I'm bipolar, so you know how I end up, like, overly sexual and all that?
When you're in your manic phases?
Yeah. Well, almost all the time, even during depression, really.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm trying to make logic of it, but it just seems odd to me that he would be looking up women if I'm pretty much able and ready all the time.
Well, you're right that men just do that anyway, right?
Well,
they just do that.
But now all of a sudden, I guess I started taking it personally now that I was in the situation.
Well, yeah, and you've got a pretty good attitude about it.
I guess is the other part.
You what?
He lied about it, too. He said he was up playing video games. So I guess that's the other part of it.
Let's sort of explore your drive for a second. Were you sexually abused when you were growing up?
No.
And you're not an addict?
No, never been addicted to anything.
Okay, so it's really just your bipolar condition that sort of drives you that way. That's what I'm assuming
is what makes it do that.
Do you overwhelm him? Is he sort of hiding out, trying to
It seems like if I am more aggressive, he kind of backs off, and all of a sudden he's like, whoa. That's why I was kind of asking if maybe I'm overwhelming, if that would be a good reason.
This actually isn't the usual situation, because it sounds like, it's sort of a subtlety here, is that, you know, it sounds like you have a good relationship, is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
And you're okay together, he's happy, but there's sort of a drive here.
He's in the Navy, so... Would that have anything to do with it? It might be.
I mean, he may just be sort of trying to get away. And men sometimes, well, all people tend to sometimes use a mechanism called dissociation as a way of managing overwhelming feelings.
Okay, yeah.
And he may just be sort of in his fantasy world as a way of getting away. Maybe it was just that one time. If it was a recurrent thing, that's when I would really look into it. And
I'm asleep first.
Here's what I can guarantee you. It has nothing to do with his attraction or love for you. Whatever his motivation has nothing to do with that part of your relationship. It may have something to do with him needing to kind of push back a little bit and create a little separation or some sort of me time kind of thing. But it does not sound like a bad situation, frankly. And nor do you sound like you're particularly defensive about it. You're just kind of wondering and talking about it. I think you'd be all right with it. Just, but don't come on too strong with him. This is Phil, 21.
Yeah. I was at a party about last week, and I was kissing this girl, and it kind of went a little bit too far. And, well, we ended up having oral sex back in one of the bedrooms. And I was wondering, I found out later on from her that she had warts. And I was wondering if my current girlfriend would get warts from me kissing her on the mouth.
No, I don't. I've never heard of that happening. But what's up with your girlfriend? I mean, what's up with your current relationship that you're hanging out with? Maybe it's time to end that relationship, huh?
I mean,
what do you guys think? He's cheating? He's hanging out?
I was just kissing this girl. It was just chilling.
Just chilling and kissing, pow.
But then
I don't know. You know, it just happened. That's where our callers usually think about things.
But the weirdest thing is, it's like every time, like, this girl, for some reason, she kept, like, kissing me and everything, and she kept saying something.
What?
Does that mean anything to anybody?
Duck butt?
I was thinking bogus call all the way, and that's what that means. So, Anderson, bleep that guy out.
No.
Yeah. Did you pick up on that at the beginning, Anderson?
Yeah, I always do, though, but I always keep my mouth shut on this end.
Well, come on, clue me in. I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt.
What do you think that is, the fake call?
What motivates people to do that?
I'd be on the radio.
Yeah, just to, you know, goof or to tell their friends they did it. And usually we can tell. There's either a glibness or an emptiness. It doesn't feel right. So there you go. let's see here. This is Andrew 15.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Andrew, what's going on?
How's it going, Drew?
Well, I'm good. What's happening with you?
I just got to tell you, man, you're basically the closest thing to my God as there is, honestly.
I'm actually coming to Utah tomorrow to speak at University of Utah.
I know. Actually, I was calling you because the kid that set that up is my brother.
Oh, for God's sakes.
They were wondering who to get, and they were thinking about these different people. I said, why don't you get Dr. Drew, because I was hearing about you talking about campuses. So you're actually going there because of me.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you, Andrew. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Are you going to be there?
Definitely, yeah.
All right. I'll look for you tomorrow.
Yeah. I haven't got cracked yet, but I have you and Adams' old book.
That is a piece of... It's a good book. Whoa. Andrew, 15. What's that?
Yeah, anyways, my question is, this girl, it turns... Like, she's got some bet with her friend or whatever. They weren't going to lose her virginity until they're 15, and she turns 15 in, like, 2 weeks, and we're just kind of friends with benefits now, but she's told me that she wants to lose it to me.
Yeah, and why don't you convince her at 15? Again, yeah,
it's not, like, a good... time, I think, to just set aside, like, yep.
What's her hurry?
Gonna throw it away.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know.
No reason.
What her hurry is.
And are you sexually active yourself already?
I mean, I'm not a virgin, but I wouldn't exactly say active. Like, I lost my virginity, like, probably 2 months ago, and I haven't had sex since then, so.
Okay. And do you want to be a girlfriend? Have this girl as your girlfriend?
Not right now. I mean, maybe when I'm, 16.
So I think you said she'd be kind of a friends with benefit thing, right?
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now, but.
Are you having sex with her now?
No, we're just having oral sex.
Again, our callers, they never cease to impress. Here's the deal. Are you telling her the whole time, I don't want a girlfriend? Is that the kind of messages
I'm just saying, like, until I get my car and stuff, I don't really want a girlfriend.
Andrew, you are too much. We got to have a little chat tomorrow night, you and I.
Very logical.
I suspect, I'll tell you, I've never seen the friends with benefit thing work. Always somebody develops very intense feelings. And I suspect 14, 15-year-old, she already has some heavy feelings for you, and she's just keeping them to herself because she knows that you're gonna abandon her if she lets you know how she's actually feeling. I suspect.
I'll back that up.
Yep.
And if not, and this is, again, this is not to disparage her or you, but this is how humans behave. If not, she's acting something out. And that something is some sort of heavy trauma when she was growing up, and you're there just to sort of be the vessel for that action. You know what I'm saying?
Which is not a cool...
Yeah.
Which is not good for her. It's not, you're not really being a friend then. A friend should be setting boundaries with that kind of behavior. So either way, it's like not a great situation for you. You and I will talk tomorrow night. I would suggest you go back to being friend with her and definitely not have sex with her, okay?
Okay, so would you...
I'm going to build... In fact, at Utah, University of Utah tomorrow night, I'm going to build the whole case... Why that's going to be my whole talk tomorrow night. Why Andrew should go back to being friends with your buddy.
So
okay?
I come in, I give you your idea for your speech. So
that's right. You got me the job and the whole speech right here. You're fantastic.
Do you go as far as to like actually tell her not to lose it yet?
Yeah. I would as her friend, if that's really what you are. Yeah. Say she's doing some stuff and not being honest about her feelings, and it's time for her to really let the truth be told. Okay.
All right. Cool. Hey, is Adam coming in later? Or
yeah, he'll...
Who cares?
Who cares?
Thanks,
he'll be in about 2 minutes, I bet. Anderson, can I play a Thrice song now? What do you think?
No, it's way too late, Drew. Come on.
That's not way too late because you know Adam's going to be here about 23 after anyway. So all right.
Is he just a slower driver than you?
No, he has to stay to the end of the show. The big plan was I was going to get out in plenty of time to get here. And, you know, here it is. We're watching the clock tick by. You'll be on at 9:25, off by 9:37.
You know what?
9:37.
Yeah, it's a good time to play the song now that you say it. Yeah. Let's play the song.
You're being very cryptic tonight.
I'm sorry. I'm just a little pissed. Let's play the song.
At what?
It has nothing to do with you or the show or anything. I have a kind of golden balance, Drew.
Yeah, I know that about you. All right. Oh, he's not ready over here, so we can't do it anyway. So let's go
to break.
All right, we'll go to break then. So this is Dr. Drew. Adam is in here in about a minute or two. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. The band is Thrice. The new, when was it released, this CD?
July 22nd.
July 22nd. The CD is The Artist in the Ambulance, and we'll be hearing the song All That's Left at the end of the next segment, or maybe the beginning of the next segment. In the meantime, we'll be taking your calls and be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. All right. Well, Drew told you everything that went on tonight, right?
Repeatedly. Well, they witnessed it. What are you talking about?
All right. Yeah. They need to be filled in. Thrice is here. Nice to meet you guys,
hey.
By the way. Sorry about tonight. It's a little bit of a cluster F going on.
That's kind of entertaining.
Oh, we just did
these guys all liked it. See, that's the thing. They're encouraging us.
Cool. Well, it's certainly different.
It was cool.
You running in, pulling your tie out.
Certainly different. A lot of traffic out tonight.
Yes,
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah. Not that. I got a cop like going with me the whole way.
It's weird when they pace you and they're going 4 miles an hour slower than the speed limit. You don't realize, by the way, till a cop gets behind you, how hard it is to feather the throttle that's sort of in between third and fourth gear thing and keep it right at 35. I wish there was some sort of sign you could flick on, like in your car, like when a cab has, that light
vacancy.
That says, like, I know you're a cop. I'm a white guy. I got registration. I'm now gonna go up to 38. Okay. I'm not making a move. It's cool. Hey, if you see me creeping up toward 40, you can hit the rollers real quick. Send me a signal. I'll bring it back down. Like, I just, because sometimes you don't know if the cop is like, is he planning on pulling me over, or is he just kind of out looking to make a real score, and I'm just making an ass of myself going 32 miles an hour.
All right. Never know.
There should be a rule, though, and there's nothing worse than the cop on the freeway who's doing, in the 55, who's doing 49, and everyone is scared to go past him. Like, there should be a rule that cop cars have to go.
It's cheating.
They have to go 5 miles an hour faster than whatever's posted.
It's unfair. Yeah.
It's either that, though, or they're flipping their lights on to go through, like, red lights, just because they feel like it.
Cops are, like, they have two modes. They have, like, all-out, balls-out. You know, e-brake slides around the corner, or they got 10 miles an hour slower than the speed limit. There's no in-between cop mode. They don't have a jog. They have a walk and a sprint. I'd like to introduce the jog to them. Let's work on that, Drew. Okay. Where are we?
We're going to take a call?
Yeah. Take a call, then we'll play a song?
Call a song, yeah.
All right. Brandon?
Okay, things are going on just swimmingly here.
All right, I'm going to put Brandon on hold, and we'll talk to, theoretically, Adrian, who's 16. Adrian?
Oh, my goodness, Adam.
Yeah.
You are so cool. I watched everything.
You're scaring me, Adrian.
I've even watched Captain Nebula.
Captain Nebula? Oh, yeah, I was just doing the voice of Buzz Lightyear.
And the Grim Reaper and the Family Guy.
Well, that was good.
That was seminal work for me. You know, what's always great about the Captain Nebula thing is my two little nephews were crazy into Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to tell my sister, I do the voice of of Buzz's commander, you know? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, the kids are nuts for it. Yeah, I see them with the toys and stuff. Yeah, I got the DVD. They're going to go nuts. You tell them. And she's like, yeah. Anyway, I need to borrow some money. I was like, wow.
I met Adam's dad for the first time tonight.
Oh,
really?
Quite an experience.
Mm. I picked a great my dad, Drew. Has my dad ever went to anything I've ever done?
Never. I was shocked.
He called me today and he's like, I want to come out and watch Jimmy's show tonight. And I was like, all right. But he came out on 9/11.
I know, it's interesting.
It was like the worst night we've ever had. He's there. And then, by the way, that'll be the last time he ever shows up to anything. So when his dying thought will be, I saw my son once in something, it kind of sucked. And that was it.
It was kind of one of those weird energy nights again, too, with the guest that was sitting next to me. And his mom used to
Suspend? He was making that up.
Okay.
All right. All right, Adrian.
It scared me.
Thanks for the praise. What's your question?
You. Okay, I have a problem. It's been for like the past 2 years. Every time I pee, it goes two different ways. It shoots out two different ways. And I do not know how to control it. And I'm not going to a doctor because I do not want to bring it up to my parents. Because my parents are correctional officers and they're very, very anal.
You mean they know where you might have developed this problem? Are you sexually
Maybe.
Active?
I don't know.
Have you had an STD?
Never. I'm not even sexually active yet.
Huh. Hmm. Well, there could be some congenital stricturing or something in there. It's pretty easy for them to open it up.
I had that problem for a while, too, and it just turned out it's just a little piece of poo stuck in there. And once I blew it out, it was fine again. 6 months I walked around with that. I had no idea. It's a little nugget. Sometimes, you know, some caraway seed the guy passed or something. I don't know what it was.
So, could be a crust issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adrian, you really should have this evaluated. Sometimes these are congenital problems. Sometimes it's from a little infection or
inflammation. But it's every single time?
I'm serious. Every single time it splits off and goes two different ways. Even when I jizz, it sometimes does it.
Thank you for the imagery. I appreciate it.
I'm just thinking if I'm ever, like, camping with Adrian, I'm going to stay right in the center. And hopefully just the Red Sea will part. You know?
Adam, all right. What is it that you have against Bakersfield, seriously?
Well, it's a horrible place. Other than that, I'm fine with it.
Oh, and we don't like
places that are really, really hot.
Yeah, it's too hot there. Yeah.
How many times have you been able to, seriously, jack off at one sitting? How many times?
Hey, Adrian, this may be why you have the split strain, buddy. You may be irritated.
I think I could beat Adam. I think I have beat Adam, actually. In less than an hour and a half, I was capable of doing it 20 times.
Yeah, you did beat me. Yeah. 20 times in an hour and a half.
That seems inhuman to me.
Something came out all 20 times?
Not even.
Oh, well, then it doesn't count.
Yeah.
It doesn't count. Yeah, that's right, brother.
But you earned the split stream, I'll tell you that. The split stream award
and
is...
And plus, you got to document that kind of stuff. I mean, don't just take your word for it. You have to have a guy there who's licensed, who's bonded, who's from the sanctioning board. Yeah. He has one of those clickers that the guys, umpires use them sometimes.
To show that it's not being reused. You know, they need a test to make sure it's not some sort of trick.
Well, yeah. And something has to be produced each time.
And we have to have a sample of that.
Listen, we shouldn't waste any more time with this. This is not a record. All right.
Ronies or something from all that action.
Imagine both his parents are correctional officers. Yeah. I mean, imagine what this poor son of a bitch has to come home to. You know what I mean?
Thus the behavior.
Right. Dad probably entering the bedroom every time, you know, like with the shoulder pads and helmet on, mom behind him pushing. You know when they try to get the violent criminal out of his cell? That's my favorite part of any TV. Whenever they do those prison shows, there's always that one guy's like, I'm not coming out. And they're like, there's 40 huge beaked up officers that are out there, and they put them in football pads and stuff, and they just bum rush the guy. And the guy, it's a certain, where are you going? What's your plan? Do you know what I mean? At a certain point, unless you got a tunnel.
Well,
I
hope that, you know, we deal with stuff like that in psychiatric hospitals too all the time. And the reality is when you're dealing with very, very violent and sick people, that is the only thing that contains them. I mean, when we're making plans about how to contain the terrorists and people like that,
yeah,
same phenomenon.
Give them the bum rush.
Same phenomenon.
All right. Don't even get me going with that terrorist stuff, Drew.
Why?
Because I was watching the news, and they were talking about how this ABC News sent the spent uranium through the port of Los Angeles. Right. And basically the deal is this spent uranium... Obviously, it's not going to hurt him. It's spent uranium. Okay, here's what it is. Spent uranium is the same as a depleted uranium, which is a uranium that just doesn't have the radioactive qualities anymore. And it's super hard metal. It's what they use to make shells and Gatling guns and things
that. They can make dirty bombs out of it, right?
Not the spent stuff.
I thought it still had enough radiation to cause some problems.
No. We fire. Our military fires spent uranium all over the place.
Okay.
Which is not good for you, especially when it's going through your sternum.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like the hardest metal known to man. It'll go through armor and all that kind of stuff. Now, they just use spent uranium because obviously they didn't want to bring real uranium into the country. But anyway, they got the spent uranium. They put it in like a lead case. They put it out of Jakarta. They sent it on a ship over here, and it went right through the port, and they towed it right down the 110. And every time it, you know, we ever hear any officials talk about it, it's like, we just don't have the manpower. We can only check 2% of the containers that are coming into our country's ports and all this kind of stuff. But, and by the way, should we advertise that we're laying that way? It seems like an open invitation. Like, hey, 98% of what you try to send over here, terrorists, is going to make it through. That's not a great message to send. But it's always, we don't have the money, we don't have the manpower. But then we need $87 billion to send to Iraq, and we need $20 billion to invest in the Star Wars research. Seems like we could use a couple of those billion dollars and just hire a couple of yokels to head on down to the dock and maybe open a crate or two. Doesn't it?
Seems like it.
Doesn't it sort of seem that way?
Yeah. I understand those billion things. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah.
People start throwing around stuff.
I mean,
like
a couple billion dollars thrown at the ports gets you a couple of $9 an hour guys for a couple million years, right?
You would think.
Okay. All right. Let's hear something from Thrice.
What is the song we're going to hear?
I got it written down here somewhere.
You had it.
I buried it with a bunch of other
there it is.
Paperwork.
All that's left.
Here it is. Everybody. Fast ending. He was right in the middle of chewing the fat with the band. Where the hell are we? We're going to hear something else from Thrice in the 11 o'clock hour, by the way.
I guess we're actually taking a break.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
All right. I feel like I should work more. You know, got here.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, good times. We'll take a break. Be back right after this. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Riley and Dustin are both here from Thrice.
Yep.
Yo, the name of the album is The Artist in the Ambulance, and we'll hear something else off of that. Possibly the title track in the 11 o'clock hour. All right, let's help the kiddies now. Let's focus now. Kara?
Yep.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. Okay, first of all, Bakersfield does suck. I figure that.
You figure that, even though you've never been there?
Yes, I have. I go there every month for soccer tournaments, and it sucks.
We just played Bakersfield.
She went to a softball tournament
soccer.
There, I think.
No, soccer, not softball.
Soccer tournament. Soccer tournament. Soccer.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right, what's up, Kara?
Take your retainer out, Kara.
It is out.
Now okay. It is, yeah, good.
Go ahead. I like that retainer, though. I'm going to get my wife one of those. Put this on. Why? Just put it on. Yeah, okay. That's hot. Now take it out.
Anyways, I have a friend, and we were talking about it the other day, and she's all, like, sex. She thinks sex makes her fat because someone told her that it does,
yeah,
and the person who told her is fat, and so she's...
Wait, hang on a second. Someone told her that's... Yeah, right, all of a sudden her stomach swells.
Your tummy gets
over 9 months, strangely enough. But sex makes you fat. That someone told her that, or her mom and dad told her that?
I think someone did. Like, a fat person told her that, and so...
Her dad told her that.
All the time, that's how I got like
her
this.
Dad told her that. This is parents.
Or fat. Look. How could sex make you fat?
I thought you would lose weight. I mean, that's just me.
It's pretty neutral. Pretty neutral. It's some exercise.
I mean, like,
the way Adam does it, it's an exercise. Well, for the partner.
Right.
Yeah.
How is it neutral? Like, so it like doesn't do anything. It just kind of.
Not really.
Kara.
What about like birth control? Doesn't that make you like?
Yeah, birth control could put some weight on if you, particularly the estrogen. You know, the estrogen doses, heavier estrogen doses will do that. Progesterone will lean you out, though, so it's different for different people and depends on the combination of the pill.
Do you realize that at least 80% of American female teenagers between like 13 and 19 just sit around thinking about weight? Do you understand? Like, your average 16-year-old chick who listens to the show just thinks about fat versus non-fat. Like,
and you know what? The research really shows, that, and it's something you've been saying.
But they don't think about anything else. But that's what I'm
but
saying.
But here's the irony, though. The research is showing that your weight, as you've said, is genetically endowed.
Yes.
You get your weight, and you have about a 3% to 5% variation off that.
Right.
And if you just exercise reasonable, you're going to stay in your zone.
Yeah. But whether it's a good zone or not is up for society to decide. But you ain't going to change your zone.
But whether or not society has decided it right, it's going to stay where it stays. Yeah.
Right. I'm just amazed that women, this is all they do. Like, is a 16-year-old guy, you're thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for my future? Like, what am I going to do for a living?
Yeah.
Or I got to beat that guy up.
Yeah.
Or I got to drink some Mickey's in the park or something. Yeah. At least there's other thoughts. Chicks, it's just, am I fat? And do guys think I'm fat? And who wants to have sex with me? It's about 80% of our callers. And if you said, look, I'll trade you. I'll tell you what. I'll give you 180 IQ and a doctorate, but I got to put 25 pounds on you. Be like, no way.
No.
Not even close. Not even close. Isn't that great? What's gone wrong? Hasn't something gone wrong?
Yes, something has gone wrong. Media. I blame media.
You do?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Well, first of all, we're part of it. That's right. We got to change it.
Right.
Part of it is I think that the kids aren't invested enough in themselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't feel good about themselves because no one invested in them emotionally. They're not invested in their education, so they see no value in that. So all there is their physical self as reflected through the eyes of the media, really.
Right.
That's all there is.
So it's just pretty much look in the mirror and judge how you're doing.
Look
and
at
that's
the
about it.
Yeah.
All right. Malachi?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
Malachi.
Is that Hawaiian?
Sure.
Why do Hawaiian people end up in Arizona?
Yeah.
You notice that?
Tidal wave.
University of Arizona, the football players have...
Molokai is Hawaiian. Malachi is Jewish.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Is Malachi Jewish?
No, actually, it's biblical, but... Yeah, you could say it's Hawaiian.
He's sort of like, like running out of steam mid-sentence. Like, you can't get the word out.
Yeah. I mean, he may have a Jewish name, but he's got the mind of a Hawaiian. You know what I'm saying? Do not be deceived by the Hebrew name. He's got that thick-headed Hawaiian brain.
You know, U of A, all their football players have the...
Yeah, you know, they have a lot of them in Utah, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Utah fucks.
Oh, what did he do? Did he just use the F word?
It sounded like it.
All right.
Utah, I think he said sucks.
Oh, sucks. Yeah. Okay.
So my question?
Yeah. Do you smoke a lot of pot?
I have. I've done many drugs. Drugs suck. All I do is smoke cigarettes. So.
Drug what?
Every time he says suck, it sounds like he's starting it with an F, yeah. Because his tongue is so lazy, right. It doesn't want to participate right. With his
forward.
Jaw.
It's like forward against his teeth.
His jaw's like, come on, we got to move again. And the tongue's like, and he's like, come on, dude, we got to talk. You know, I need you to form sentences.
He has learned that drugs suck, and but part of the reason he's learned this is because there's been some injury, probably.
Malachi? Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, let me ask you seriously. You have a very unusual name. You don't know what the origin of that name is?
It's biblical.
Okay. Thank you.
It's Hebrew biblical.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what's... But your parents aren't Jewish, are they?
No. My parents are Hispanic, Native American, and Irish, and they're divorced.
Okay. That makes more sense. Now it all came together.
Yeah. Native American, Irish, and
Hispanic, it all, psh, pow, right into focus. The Jew thing was confusing me for a while. All right, go ahead then.
All right, my question is, okay, I met a girl, and it's the only girl I've ever had deep feelings for in my entire life.
Right.
She meant the world to me, and we got to know each other over a period of time. And I thought the world of her. I loved her with all my heart. I even told her so.
How old was she?
She's 21 now.
Where'd you meet her?
I met her. Well, I saw her at a rave first, dancing. Okay,
you're how old?
17.
And where? How old were you at the time?
Actually, I was 17 at the time. I'm actually 19 now. But
okay,
all right. Yeah, I was a little dishonest about that, but. So, over a period of time, she has a daughter, and her daughter's 4 years old.
Yeah, and this girl is going to be a handful, yeah. Right? I mean, that's the only way you could have that kind of sparkling attraction to her, is if she's just total chaos.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
But my question is, okay, I developed feelings for her over time, but after we were sexually, you know, involved, just once, I felt like she totally turned off, and it's like...
Yeah, there's a new Woody Allen movie is coming out about this. It's called Sane,
really?
I think, or something like that.
I have no idea.
It's about exactly this kind of a relationship, and the woman's got sort of a borderline personality disorder, and they have sex, and all of a sudden she starts having panic attacks, can't have sex with them, sort of getting distance, but has sex with other guys.
See, but I know it's not because I'm not, you know, good sexually, because I know my sexual...
Malachi, you sound like the best.
Yeah, it has, whatever it is, it has nothing to do with
sexually
you.
It is oral technique. It's like, come on, tongue, it's time to do oral. Seriously, we got to do some licking. We got to impress this.
It's like that kind of reaction.
I had to say three words yesterday, and you want me to lick some twat? No way. No. Malachi has, it's like he just got back from the dentist.
Malachi comes from alcoholism.
All right, buddy, come on, now listen.
Big time.
We got to straighten you up, do you hear me?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You working?
No, I'm going to school.
Who's the alcoholic, mom or dad or both?
Probably both.
Okay.
All right.
Sex addict. Yeah,
so this is where this is why you're attracted to all that.
And where are you going, junior college?
I'm hoping to major in English.
At the junior college?
Do my regular classes at Pima, but then go to the U.
All right, No.
That's junior college.
That's junior college, yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good. Laugh, Malika.
Listen, you know you're in junior college, right? The classrooms are on wheels. There's ashtrays everywhere. Teachers look like they're looking for a place to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. A bunch of guys that look like you just wandering around. Okay, no more junior college. You got to get to work. You understand?
I mean, I've worked before in the past, but
yeah, you got to work
McDonald's,
again. No, you need to trade.
I've done that. Okay.
You worked at McDonald's. Shocking.
You need a trade. You understand?
Yeah.
Oh, Drew, everybody's. I worked at McDonald's.
What's trade?
That's what I'm saying.
Genius. What's that?
What's trade?
What trade? Oh. Electrician. No, that's too dangerous for you. A plumber. All right?
All right.
All right, you need a job. Drop out of junior college.
He must be like a framer or a floor guy.
That's all I'm saying. We got to go to break. But college isn't for everybody. He's wasting his time. He's wasting everyone's time. He's just kicking around, scoring weed. It's just get to work.
Yeah.
Get a job. Fight to keep it.
All right.
We'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Thrice is here. Dustin Riley, both here from the band.
Hello.
The Artist in the Ambulance is the name of the CD. We'll hear something else off it in the 11 o'clock hour. But for now, it's back to the phones. Got a question for the band. David?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. Sorry, I had you on speaker.
Thank you. Don't rush to pick the phone up there.
Sorry.
A minute. Go ahead, buddy.
One, Thrice, you're amazing. You're
Thanks, man.
One of my favorite
bands
ever, and I'm going to go see you when you come in Seattle on October 27th.
Cool.
So
we have a whole list of their upcoming tours.
I'm really excited for that.
What am I supposed to do, read the whole tour?
I can glance and pick up, and I'll tell you where they're going to be and that kind of thing.
No, get away from that. Here's what you can do. You can go to their website.
Okay.
Yeah? Yeah, that's www.thrice.net.
Wow, a band that actually got their name as a web domain.
Net.
.com was owned by some guy selling email addresses, so I went to the next
so,
step.
If you go to that, you can probably find the tour dates out.
Excellent.
All right, go ahead, David.
Right. So I'll be excited to see you guys. I was wondering, though, like, I'm in a band, and I was wondering how you went from, like, playing at community centers to playing at, like, you know, the Showbox and going on tour with Thursday and stuff.
Very slowly.
Very slow.
Yeah. We basically just kept playing and took every opportunity that came our way.
When did the band form?
A year and a half ago.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking
to me.
No, I was.
Okay, sorry.
But that's all right. You guys been... All right, so David's band's been together a year and a half, and Thrice has been together for...
5 years.
5 years. Okay. Relatively new.
By Bad Religion standards.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And so how long did you guys play before you had any success?
We did, like, nothing for, like, at least a year and a half. So are you playing, like, shows already, or?
Yeah, we're playing shows, and we just recorded 8 songs in the studio.
That's awesome. Just keep taking each step. Like, you record something, sell some of it, play some shows.
Should I send it out to, like, clubs and stuff? Because we don't really have a record label. We just got together.
Yeah, definitely.
And send it to clubs, and I would say, play whenever and wherever you can and to a show.
What I do is I find other high school bands and then I organize, like, I rent out a community center, like a gym somewhere and just shows and stuff. But it's like, I'd like to play a show where it's people that I don't know, not just my friends that show up.
But then you get a following and then you can contact some smaller clubs and you say, well, my band can draw 100 people or 150 people, and that's how you get shows, because the promoters and the people that book shows at clubs, they want to make money, so they want to know that you're going to bring somebody, and it's kind of like a catch-22 situation.
They're not going to pay you, really.
But
you start playing for more people.
But so always the same answer, which is if you're good at it or you want to be good at it or get good at it and you love it, you just do it. Just keep playing any chance you get. And whatever it is.
There's no magic, like...
every time. I mean, if you're a stand-up comedian, just do stand-up comedy. If you're a band, you got to play. And, you know, don't piss anybody off and do everything you can do. But there's I don't know why people... Have we ever heard an answer where we've went, never knew
well,
that.
Well, this is that world we live in, which is, what are the 4 secrets to losing weight? Well, give me the 4 secrets to being a hit band. It's like, no, there's no such thing as that in life.
It's like, period.
If you like doing it, keep doing it. And
right.
You make choices in life. You follow your passions, or you do the safe thing and you do something that, you know, gives you security, whatever. You make choices right. And you go down those paths.
But losing weight is a good example of, you want to lose weight, you run a bunch and you eat stuff that tastes kind of crappy, but it's good for you. and it's painful and it sucks.
Crazy,
and then you lose weight.
Crazy notion that you make these choices. Here are the choices you make, and you'll be able to be fill in the blank.
I know. It is weird, so, and it's
false.
Full of crap.
It's absolutely false, and we were selling that everywhere.
And you know what? People always do that, too, even if you're telling them your story. They'll go, so you met Jimmy at the so-and-so, and that's what happened. And I was like, no, I was busting my hump trying to do comedy for 9 years before I met Jimmy.
Right.
But then you met Jimmy, and then...
So I need to find some guy that does morning radio.
Possibly named Jimmy.
That's the secret. That's the secret.
There you go. It's like Jimmy. Yeah, listen, every story where somebody has any kind of success, there's always some break along the way. Some club owner likes them, some record label exec was hearing him, some morning show radio guy thought he was funny when he was his boxing instructor. I mean, there's always some goofy story somewhere along the way, but the band's got to be good in order for the record label guy who happened to go into the club to take notice for you to get your break, right?
Yes.
And the way you get good is you keep playing. Mm-hmm. All right.
Or you don't. But, you know, I think the most...
Or you don't.
No, you don't. Some people don't get good. I was going to say the most important thing of all is to assess and accept reality.
Thank you very much.
You know what I mean? You guys believed you were good. You looked at it. You listened to people that told you you were good. And
you
evaluated
have to believe
it.
You're good. You just have to believe that you're at least progressing. I think
getting better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
that's a very valid point too, which is don't keep assessing yourself. Just keep moving forward.
Right.
You don't have to stop and find out what everyone thinks every 10 feet. Just keep rolling forward.
If you think
you're definitely going to suck when you start at whatever you're doing.
Yeah, what 17-year-old guy, I mean, if you got a band and you're 17, unless you're Silverchair, you should suck. Where is Silverchair, by the way? Maybe they decide to suck when they're like in their mid-20s or something. Where's that band?
I heard they're having a new album.
Oh, really?
I think they're working on something.
They're coming out with, like, I think they're...
Random rumors.
The singer was having a bunch of problems.
He had a bar mitzvah that was coming up that had been weighing on his mind. Probably started the band when he was 7.
Then the driver's license thing came up, driving test.
Voice changing, pubes popping up. You know, they're trying to release their 5th album. This guy sprung a pube. It's tough on a band, Drew.
Our tour manager is Australian, so we always get the random updates on Australian bands that we've never heard of.
Well, you get Men at Work and Silverchair. All right, and Jocko, too. Remember that guy?
No.
All right. Let's do those battery commercials. Joey?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah. Hey, first of all, I want to say hi to Thrice.
Hey,
you
mate.
You guys are awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see you on Halloween.
Oh, cool. That's going to be an awesome...
Where's it going to be?
We don't know where we're going to be yet, though.
Orange County?
Yeah.
Halloween, we're at the...
No, I said we don't know what we're going to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where are you going to be?
Oh, in L.A.
We'll be at the Palladium.
Hey, Joey?
We're still undecided on costumes.
You have a question?
Well, anyways, my girlfriend and I are sexually involved now. She's 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And actually, my question kind of has to do with I can't really get her to orgasm. Mm.
But that's common for teenagers, right?
Right. Well, I was on the internet today trying to figure out, you know, if I could find some way to get her to orgasm.
Well, hang on a second. Well,
let me talk to the band. When did you get your first orgasm break? How did you guys do it?
What are the four?
I met
secrets?
A guy named Jimmy, and
on the morning show.
Yes, you got on the internet. What did you find out?
Well, I found this. The site was saying that girls with bigger boobs, it's harder for them to orgasm because they have too much estrogen or something like that. And she's pretty large up top herself, and I was wondering if, like, there's some way I can, you know,
16.
Like, get that to, like...
Hold on, I can feel Anna's resentment rising.
How big up top is she? Because I like that myself.
I think she's a 36D. I don't really know. Mm-hmm.
You don't really know?
Yeah,
not really. Not your cup of tea, because I'm really going to get angry in a second. No? There's nothing worse than a guy who doesn't like big cans who gets big cans. As a matter of fact, that's the way you get big cans. You announce to the world and God at like 15 that's not really what you're into, and then magically, boom, big cans come hit you right in the face. But when you pursue them like I have, they become like Moby Dick. The elusive big cans. He's sort of lukewarm, or the jury's still out on the big cans. Joey?
Yeah.
Okay, but do you like them big cans? Or?
I could really care less, actually.
Yeah. 16.
Yeah, well, I like her for who she is, you know?
Oh, now I'm going to kill you. All right. Well, she's listening, right?
Yeah, probably.
All right. I did that math. All right. Okay.
An interesting theory, but I know of no evidence that that's true.
And the large-breasted women have higher levels of circulating estrogen.
I don't know that that's true, and nor do I know that estrogen necessarily makes it more difficult to orgasm. In fact, for most women, although progesterone has an androgen or male hormone effect that some women do respond to and become more orgasmic and more sexual, most women are kind of shut down by it. So estrogen actually makes women more receptive, more interested in sort of receiving a man. Receptivity, I don't talk about this very much. Receptivity is a sexual experience that men do not have.
Right.
If you talk to women about it, it's a very vivid experience. That's why they can have a receptive experience of intercourse and not orgasm and be satisfied.
Right.
And men, that's can't even be comprehended. That's what Charlie Brown's teacher talking.
You mean not having an orgasm as a guy and being satisfied
by the receptive experience, just the idea of receiving somebody is satisfying.
I like the thought of receiving like a BJ, and then I can, if I don't have an orgasm, I can use it later. You know, when I'm alone.
Of course.
So I mean, you know,
still all
better.
Directed to orgasm, and that's the androgen, that's the male hormones.
All right. Andy.
Yeah. You're right. You can't get over the 16-year-old who.
Fat. I say. I've turned to an old Jew all of a sudden on this show.
Yes, you did.
Andy, you're 13.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering, does masturbation affect, like, growth anywhere in any way?
Growth?
Huh? What?
Growth?
Yeah, growth.
Not that I'm aware of. Not that it's been documented. And given that all males do that. And all males manage to develop normally.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe we'd all be 8 feet tall.
Could be.
Never know.
But it's never going to count. Therefore, that will never happen.
Maybe Shaq never beat off. Maybe that's a secret.
The chi keeps churning.
That's right. It's like fertilizer. Yeah. It just goes right back into your roots, you know? Where's my fertilizers? All over the hamper and the bathroom.
Socks.
It's a mess. Socks. It's a mess. It's all over. It's like Bandini Mountain in my bedroom. Remember that commercial, Drew?
No.
What is it?
I'm sorry.
What do you not know?
I don't know Jacko, and I don't know Bandini Mountain, but I'm impressed that you do.
You guys are too young, but...
I know it. There's a skier with the giant pile of poo.
Yeah, a big pile of manure.
Yeah.
He skis down?
I'm the old guy.
How old are you?
28.
Yeah, ancient.
Drew, why don't you know things?
Because I didn't watch TV.
You were 11 when this goddamn thing came out. Why can't you know anything that I know? How come I can't know anything you know? Why is it that we all know our own stuff and it never works?
He had the Charlie Brown thing, but no one liked that.
The Charlie Brown teacher?
Yeah.
That's his thing, actually.
No, that's fine. Everyone knows. Well, Drew. Bandini Mountain. All right. I'll get in. Jocko. Jocko is this big, like, Australian rules rugby player. He's like this big, bald guy. And in the mid-80s, but the battery...
I remember Baba Blacksheep.
No.
Do that too, yeah?
That's Conrad. That's Robert. He used to do commercials for Ever Ready Battery, and then he had a series out for a while.
Wow.
I'm telling you. We get on this computer, Dern, and look up Jocko, and then look up Bandini Mountain, and then look up Numb Nuts, and find a picture of yourself. That's right. All right, where are we? Who was I talking to someone?
No.
Oh, Andy?
Take a call.
Yeah.
No, you're fine, buddy.
I also, you know the name Malachi?
Yeah.
It comes from a Catholic prophet named Malachi.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Andy, puberty will come, masturbation or not.
Right.
He's worried about his development. That's
I've already hit puberty. I'm just wondering
if it
affect anything.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was James Earl Jones when he first called in. I didn't know who it was. Do a lot of voiceover work, Andy?
What happened?
Okay.
Oh, Andy.
All right. I can see him doing like movie trailers. Like, let's see you do this, Andy. You ready?
Yeah.
Do Orson Welles.
I want you to do like in a world without justice, one man stands. No, hold on a second. One man stands alone. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
World without justice.
No, no, hold on. In a world.
In a world. Okay.
Shh,
in
quiet
a
now.
World without justice, one man stands alone.
Sounds like the
yeah
kid
the Red Rum kid.
Red Rum, yeah.
Yeah. Drew's not seen The Shining either, so don't bring up Red Rum.
Red Rum, Red Rum.
All right, so Andy.
It reminds me too much of my kids. It's driving me insane.
All right, buddy. Good times. Well, he's a man.
Had his bar mitzvah.
He hit that puberty head on. All right, let's talk Jonas.
Hello?
Hey. We're on our biblical theme name show tonight. What's up, John?
Well, first of all, I have two things to say. First of all, I already hit puberty.
Yeah, we hear it. Yeah. Awesome. Congratulations.
And I'd like to say hey to the guys from Thrice.
Hey, man.
Okay, I have a question.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Kennel.
Kennel?
How many dogs you have there?
Actually, two.
All right. What kind are they?
A Dalmatian and a Chihuahua.
Oh, my God.
What a combo.
This is the two worst dogs ever.
Are they going to breed?
You have a mother, or they're your family's dogs?
Yeah.
Your mom watches way too much movie and television.
Yes.
Right? That is the Yokiro Taco Bell and 101 Dalmatians. That's what that
is. I think so.
Yeah. Dalmatians are nuts. They're like the crazy ditzy coked
they're
up
not,
blondes
not
of the dog world. And not only are they not smart, but they're manic and bizarre. The Chihuahuas are just mean. Mean. Yeah, they're horrible. Those two worst dogs. Yeah. Like,
just because they've been
on
TV and movies. That's why. Apparently, there was a huge resurgence of both those dogs being purchased along the time of that commercial for Taco Bell.
No, I never heard of it.
101.
Never heard of it. What's that? Never
What's
heard
Taco
of that.
Bell?
Never heard of either one of those things. What are you talking about? No one knows what you're talking about. How's that feel? Jonas?
Yes.
All right, so what's up?
Well, I'm going to the Halloween
Don't feel
show,
good,
like
does
the other guy.
You're what, and huh?
I'm going to the Halloween show, Thrice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Good times.
And I need some help on my costume. I'm kind of wondering if you guys can help me out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, where's just supposed to tell you what to be?
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about...
I thought we had choices.
Guy. Which guy?
I was thinking about being that crazy guy that called in on your KUCI interview, the lacrosse helmet.
We called this question... happening.
Oh, really?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're like, dude, I swear, someone's going to call about him.
Go as one of the Aquabats.
Yeah, go as the Invisible Man, who's also mute. The band would prefer that, I think. Let's hear something from
the
band.
Yeah, it's time.
Be left-handed.
Yeah. We'll hear a little something from Thrice off the...
The Artist in the Ambulance.
Yeah, it's name of the song, name of the CD, and here it is.
Late night brakes, I hear the tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel lift me up. And I open bloodshot eyes into fluorescent white. Flip the siren, hit the lights, close the doors and I am shaking on this bed.
that brakes, I'll hear the tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel steal me from the beating sounds of death and chance.
If you want to find out anything about the band, you go to www.thrice.net, and you can find out show schedules and all that kind of stuff. All right, we're going to take ourselves another break, but we'll be back in about 4 minutes right after this. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dustin and Riley are both here from Thrice.
Yo.
Yo. The Artist in the Ambulance, name of the CD. All right, let's see. Let's talk to line five. Lindsay?
Hi.
Hey. What's up, darling? You're 21.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. And, nice. My ex-boyfriend is really unsupportive, and I'm not sure if I should try to continue any kind of relationship. We haven't talked in a while. He lives across the country, and he doesn't want to talk to me, but he seems like he still wants to be involved in the baby's life.
I'm confused. How can he not talk to you and be involved in the life of the baby?
You know, put the fetus on the phone.
Okay.
I'm you talk
through the fetus.
Too.
That's what I do.
What?
I'm not really sure exactly what he wants to do. All I know is, like, he just really feels like he's too busy. And I think he feels really, like, angry because we were addicts and we were both using when we first got together.
Oh. How's his recovery going?
It's going really well. I'm 9 months clean.
No, his recovery.
His recovery, well, he does both Narcotics Anonymous and Sex Addicts.
Right.
And I don't think his recovery is going that well with sex addicts, but I can't judge his recovery.
We can't judge.
Hey, yeah, you can judge.
I can judge. Okay.
All right, so how about you give the kid up for adoption?
I don't know. I've gotten really spiritual since I've been in recovery.
Yeah.
So, and I finished college. I'm going to grad school. And
Lindsay, I don't mind her raising a kid.
Really? No.
Mm-mm.
Who's paying for this, though? I'm scared I may have to pay.
You may.
For this? Well, the dad is on a fellowship, so he actually gets paid pretty well. He's getting his PhD in Ivy League school.
That's the same guy who is...
That's the chunky sex-addicted guy?
Huh?
This kid, that's the dad, right?
Yeah.
What's he getting?
That guy's got range.
Yeah.
I gotta give him his props for having that kind of range.
What's he getting his degree in?
Communications.
He went back down again.
He dropped a little, but he's going to what Ivy League school is he going to?
I don't want to say.
Oh, no one's gonna know. Come on.
He's going to what is it? UPenn.
University of Penn.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah.
UPenn. Yeah.
University of Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so like this guy, you know, this guy sounds kind of self-centered to me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But the whole thing sounds intriguing, though, still. It's more complicated than usual.
You can keep the kid
really
on a trial basis.
Here's the thing. You're in recovery. Your recovery is going very well. Yeah, I can tell.
I'm really excited about it.
No, I get it. You're going to make it. That's why I don't mind you sort of raising a child, and you'll be a available mom, and this is all good.
You may be out of the picture.
Is there a way that you could get another, do you have a boyfriend or somebody else that could function as dad for this child?
I am, I would like to have that eventually, but I don't want to jump into another.
You have nothing set up.
You're cute, though, right? You're attractive?
Yeah.
All right. See, here's my plan as a guy. Let me just say this, you guys. Here's what you're getting. Okay, let me explain.
Explain.
I talked to my buddy the other day. He was driving out to Bum F. I said, well, what are you going all the way out there on a Saturday for? He says, I go to the Sears outlet out there. They have appliances there. I got myself like a Kenmore washer and dryer, you know, $1,800. Got it for $900 because it had a ding in the side of it.
Yeah.
But a ding that no one cares about. It's like up against the side of the wall.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's getting top product that he couldn't afford. But just because it's a second, you know, it's got a ding or scuff in it or something, he's getting it cheap. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He can now afford this top name product.
Right.
You could get Lindsay cheap right now.
Yeah.
So I'm saying she's 21. She's hot. Her name's Lindsay. It's a good hot name.
It's a big ding, though.
She's
know what?
She's educated. She's got a little ding in the oven. That's fine. That's fine. I'm saying a guy.
I don't think
who
she'll
Lindsay,
go for it. I don't think she'll come down to the number. I don't think she'll come down to the perceived number by the guy.
Okay, but yeah. then a guy who could step up. Either way, she's ripe for the picking. You know what I mean? I mean, this is the Sears mall, outlet mall.
Possibly.
You slide in now as a guy who normally couldn't land this kind of chick, gets this kind of chick because she's pregnant or got some a-hole boyfriend who's off neglecting her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you. I'm with you.
Okay. I'm just saying it. I'm just telling guys, you know, I'm like a consumer advocate. That's
so the question then, Lindsay, is
right.
Is it worthwhile trying to find some way to give your child dad? And, you know, this is going to be my opinion, and this is not going to be based on any good clinical information, just my sort of instincts about these things.
Okay.
If it's a girl, try to keep him in. Find a way to give them a relationship.
Uh-huh.
If it's a guy, he needs a stable relationship with a male figure. It doesn't have to be the biological father.
It's a boy.
All right. Don't worry
good.
About it. He needs you more than he needs dad.
Yeah.
Right.
He just scarecrow
I'm
work with a guy.
I'm not at the outlet mall right now.
Yeah. Huh? You're not going to be at the outlet, no.
No, I'm not at the outlet mall.
No, not yet. Well, I'll tell you, when this kid is like 7 months old, you'll be outlet mall. They'll be right. We got to slide right in.
Can I ask another question?
Yes, by all means.
Dr. Drew, I was really wondering how, I'm kind of worried about raising a child that's come from two addicts.
Yeah, you need my book. This is somebody I want to, I'm going to send you my book.
I would
okay?
love to read your book.
I'm going to send you my book.
I'd be really excited.
Laura, you send Drew $44.95.
No. He's going to send you. You're the perfect reader for my book.
Okay.
And I want you to read it and think about how recovery can make you perhaps even more present than the average person. Yes, and your concern about whether this be an addicted child is completely reasonable. The probability that he will inherit the gene is about 50%. By the time he's 8, you'll know if he's got that gene or not.
Really?
You'll be able to tell.
8?
Yeah, most parents can tell whether the kid's got the gene or not.
Wait, what do you do at 8? Just give him a rig with some heroin in it
no,
and see if he
just
goes for it?
Or? She'll recognize the things that she did and stuff when she was 8. There's a certain behavioral quality.
All right.
And, you know, the most important thing is to raise as psychologically carefully as possible and keep your recovery
right.
very solid.
All right. Give the book out.
I'm going to give the book out.
All right.
It's called Cracked.
Yeah.
Hang on the line, Lindsay. We'll get Lauren to talk to you.
Ricardo?
Yeah.
I've had an ass crack full of crack tonight, by the way.
What?
Because we just did Jimmy's show together, and it was more book stuff. You know?
Right.
So I had my saturation
okay.
level
right.
met early.
You
That's
certainly
all.
Got right behind me and helped me promote it very nicely.
I certainly did.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, no, I guess that didn't happen.
No. Ricardo?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Question for the band?
For the band. Oh, I'm in love with Thrice. All their records are great. I have a problem with the new one, though. Like, I feel like if the major label made you guys, like, I don't know, not seem as hard as the second one. Because the first CD came out pretty good. The second CD came out, like, 10 times
They know now. Ricardo's talking to you guys.
17-year-old Ricardo from Los Angeles going to give the band notes. You're a huge fan, though, right?
Huge fan. I went to go see him at Cal State Fullerton with the free show. I saw him at the Troubadour when Hot Water Music headlined. I got on stage and sang with the bassist. And then, like, my ass showed. I don't know if I saw it. Yeah. I'm just a huge fan, but the new CD seems like if Island made you guys seem like not too.
You're being paranoid, bud.
Am I really? I don't know.
Dude, I promise you, if we started writing that record before we signed to a major label, and we kept writing it afterwards. But if you would have heard that record on an indie label, you would have been like, yeah, man,
It's way better, and you wouldn't have had a second thought about it.
Go ahead.
Don't worry about it.
Don't do that.
If you don't like it as much, that's totally fine. But it has nothing to do with us changing labels.
Let me give everyone some insight as far as the man. I mean, I don't like the man any more than the next guy, but the man does not have as much influence as the average person thinks the man has over the product. I mean, we do TV shows, we do radio shows. You guys make records. Everyone thinks it's some short, stout, white guy with a cigar like comes in and tells you what you can say and what you can't say and what you can do and play this kind of music and stuff. The reality is that there's really not that much of that going on at all.
Any of that? Yeah.
Maybe none. It's almost a misconception. It's almost a wives' tale or a paranoia that, oh yeah, he can't talk about this because of that. No, if you talk to most people who do a show or make a record or write a song, there's not so much of the man's influence really. The man may do a little editing before the man can decide what he wants to buy and what he wants to back. But he doesn't usually screw with the product that much, like, or does
like,
he?
I don't
know.
If there's like a pop band, like maybe like it's a different story. It was put
it's
together,
constructed
yeah,
that
yeah,
way.
It's constructed that. But like, if a label signs a band, like they're like, okay, we like
the
what you're doing.
The last thing they want to do is screw with what's been working.
Keep doing. Yeah. That's exactly the point. Like,
yeah, we did.
And there's probably a few people out there that think that way. Like, but definitely with Island, we're like, you guys are doing good. Want to help you do better and keep doing
exactly.
They didn't flinch, like,
and they signed
the and they're like, sweet,
they signed you because of the sound that you had, and they don't want to screw with that. It's just, I think people
so do if you don't like it, it's our fault.
All right,
did MTV ever talk to us about anything?
No.
Always a couple things.
What'd they say?
You said Hitler.
And it wasn't, I told him to shut up.
And it wasn't a man. It was some couple of women, in fact. Remember that?
Yeah, who ended up being our censors later on the man show. It was awesome. But no, I just yelled at them. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I just told them to shut up. And then that was the end of it. It's like, I'm not going to do it. And then they never bothered us. I mean, yeah.
I got
we
mad
did.
Because you just said the word Hitler.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
But I'm saying that we did a show on MTV for a number of years. I did a show on Comedy Central for a number of years. No one ever came around and told us what to do or what to say or what not to say. They obviously, once in a while, if you cross the line and you got, you know, too blue, they would say, hey, reel it in. But they never said, do this joke, do that, start steering it this direction. It was never any of that. Where is the man, by the way? I'd like to find that. And by the way, it ain't a man. It's a handful of fags. Please. We blame it on the portly white guy with the cigar. It's really the guy in the bad tassel loafers and his mock turtleneck running around with a horrible opinion. Let's worry about them. Am I right? The man. She man.
Josh.
Oh, Josh?
Yeah.
What's up? You're 24.
Yeah, I got a question. I was molested when I was younger, around 6 years old, by my older brother. My question is
hold on. How much older is he?
He was 5 years older than I am.
He was 11 and you were 6.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. How long did that go on?
What was that?
How long did that go on for?
It only went on for probably about a year.
How only?
Basically what ended up happening was that it was my parents would leave him to babysit with us. And if we did anything wrong, like, he would tell me, like, if you don't want to get in trouble, don't tell Mom and Dad if you do this for me. Mm-hmm. And
who abused him?
That I'm not sure of. I don't think anybody actually did abuse my brother, and I just try to figure out, you know, where this came from with him. My main question and concern is, I ran it by my parents probably around the time when I was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. They had ended up telling me that, you know, this could have never happened. They're taking the defensive side.
Always, of course.
I know. And my problem is that, I mean, I moved out of my house when I was 17 years old, decided to get into therapy when I was 19. Mm-hmm. I got married at 19. Mm-hmm. And my wife was the one that kind of pushed me forward to go into therapy.
Why was the problem?
I had very bad issues with depression, anxiety. I have very bad panic attacks that come to a point where I end up passing out, not breathing, and then I come back to it, and that's kind of like my release.
Do your parents believe you now that you were molested?
No, they don't. My parents still don't take to it. You know, they
should have. They're always going to deny it. You should have done what I did with my parents, which is I tricked them. I said I wasn't molested, and I kept poking my dad in the chest, and he said, "Oh yes, you were." And then I tricked him. I was like,
"Yeah." Then you said, "Wabbit season."
Well, shoot him now.
My question is now is that I've been basically pretty much a guinea pig for different types of anxiety and depression medications.
Josh, stop.
Yeah.
That's not being a guinea pig, okay? That is how appropriate therapeutic regimens are arrived at, by trying different combinations until you get the biology right. There's no way to measure what you need. There's no way to predict what will work for a given individual. You have to try things.
Well, as of right now, I mean, I've been to a couple different therapists. I almost come to the point where I want to give up on it, only for the fact that every time I go to see somebody different, I get labeled as something else. I've been labeled as manic depressant. I've been labeled as, like, multiple personality disorder. Mm-hmm. They've labeled me with everything under the book. And my main concern is that
multiple.
Hang
on a second. Multiple or dissociative disorder?
They said multiple.
All right.
And they put me on that Zyprexa.
Yep.
For that. Right. And that basically, the main reason why they said multiple personality disorder was because of my issues when I would have a panic attack and I would pass out.
Yeah. But that's dissociative. That's dissociation.
How's your wife doing?
My wife is fine.
Oh, man, she got a handful.
Well, she's got a handful. But, see, my issue is my biggest concern is that I had found a medication that worked for me, which was Celexa. And I had been on Celexa for
a second. I got to say, you know what? Once in a while, and this almost never happens, somebody speaks at the perfect cadence, not too fast to be entertaining, not so slow that I can cut them off and interject every 10 seconds to try to interject some entertainment into it, but the exact pace that can technically go on for infinity.
And strangely, they come right up against a break.
Yes. It's just like I feel horrible. It's like Josh has been to hell and back. On the other hand, he's getting on my nerves now. I don't know why. He's not really asked this question yet. I think we just need to wrap him up and get him out. All right. So, but he's not going to let you do that very easily. No, because I'm not going to come back and get into it, Josh.
Yes.
What's the question?
Question is what I found the medication that was good for me.
Celexa.
Celexa. The question is that when I, after 2 weeks of being on this medication, the effects wear off.
Sometimes.
And I don't feel anything from it. And my question is where can I go from now?
Double up. But only under your doctor's supervision. There's also a more, let's call it, purified form of Celexa called Lexapro.
Yeah.
You could switch to that.
Comes in from Miami. They don't step on it.
There's plenty to be done still. You got to talk to your doctor. And you may also need the Zyprexa with the Celexa. That's a common combo.
All right. Ready to take a little break.
He was interesting. I'd like to talk more with him, but there you go. I think he may be an addict, too, so subtly. I think that's in there somewhere.
Really?
Because that's the when people say, I've tried everything, and I work hard and something's missing, often that's what's missing.
All right. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. Thrice is here, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Jocko Drew. Dustin and Riley both here from Thrice. They're going to be in here for about another, say, about 13 minutes. The name of the album is The Artist in the Ambulance, and if you want to find out any information about the band, you go to www.thrice.net. All right. And now, why did you say when it was .net, you said, well, the band got their name?
Even though it wasn't a .com, they were able
like
to.
Thrice.
Thrice the band .net, yeah.
Right.
Nobody.
Oh,
no band can get just their name as a domain anymore. Too many people have gone out and typed it before them.
Someone bought your name?
Yeah.
Someone bought my name, too.
Nice.
And if you're listening, jackass, have fun renewing it, because I told you 9 years ago you can take it and shove it up your ass. I don't want it. I never will want it. You picked the wrong guy. This is a huge waste of your time and your money. Drew, have you ever heard me talk about the internet? No. Do I care? No. This actually, if you said, I'm going to do a website and put your name on, I'd be angry. I don't want my name for that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You have people bothering you now? They're typing. You got to type back? F that. All right. Internet's, it's look, call me old-fashioned, but it's for pornography, okay? That's it.
That's what the web is for?
That's what the web's for.
Nice. That's very old-fashioned, yes.
Kelsey?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
That's a hot name, that Kelsey.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That means you're either really hot or just ironically huge, like, you know, in a sort of bizarre poetic way, you know? Which is it?
I don't know. It's not my opinion. I guess it's everybody else's.
Yeah, what do they think?
Oh, I don't know. I just have to ask my boyfriend sometimes.
All right. But you got a boyfriend and there's nothing wrong with him?
No, he's great.
All right. That means you're hot, then.
Well, thank you.
The question is, Kelsey?
Okay. After every time I have sex, I feel like I can't hear anything. I feel like I am underwater.
Do you actually have complete deafness?
Hi.
Wrong hole, maybe.
Ironic response.
Yep.
I can't barely hear you.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's like that all the time for you.
Well,
just notice it after sex.
It was just, even after the first time I had sex, I felt like I almost went deaf after that. I could barely hear what anybody was saying to me.
How long does it last for?
15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Do you hyperventilate when you're having sex?
No.
Do you dissociate where you kind of check out and don't know what's going on?
Hi?
All right.
Yes.
True, this
you need to eat your hearing check. Forget having sex and losing your hearing. I think you've lost it all the time.
Kelsey.
You get a water polo helmet.
Yeah, you need to have your hearing checked.
Do you think?
All right, this is going to take too long.
We can't get through it. All right.
Does the optometrist have to bang her?
Huh?
The audiologist?
Oh, I mean, not the optometrist, the... Let's see your doctor.
Ear, nose, throat.
Yeah, is that who does your hearing?
Otolaryngologist.
Yeah. Does he put that thing in her ear?
Of course.
That the light is. In it? Not his penis. I mean, the light thing.
Yes.
I'm like, what are they looking for with that thing?
Look at the eardrum. And you can see signs on it. It was behind the drum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Hey, yeah, so go get your hearing checked. Well, and what about this? Because we've heard about this before.
Yeah, there's the migraineous phenomenon. She could be dissociating, having an emotional reaction. She could be hyperventilating. She could be getting Valsalva and bearing down and actually increasing the fluid. And like, a lot of things could be happening here, but have heard of it. I don't know that it's necessarily associated with anything serious.
All right. CJ?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to say you guys are awesome. You guys help a lot of people, and I think that's really cool.
Thanks, CJ.
And anyways, my question is, I can't seem to tell any girl no for sex, even if she's not be rude, but unattractive. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if maybe this could be caused because of, like, depression or, like, maybe something with my childhood or something like that.
What happened?
Well, not really much. I did have, like, one small case of, like, where I was a little bit molested, but I don't really look at it as a big deal, but maybe I guess it was more than I should. Really,
well, it is that what you're describing basically is when you come under the spell of someone else's priorities, their drives, you become a victim. You freeze, and you are sort of in a spell. You sort of can't help but go along with them, yeah. And that suggests a victimization. I mean, that's the kind of a victim role.
It's just,
so could it be like an addiction too, or anything like that, or is it
can be? And again, it's part of that whole syndrome. Yeah, it sure could be.
Well, so, what happened with the molestation?
Well, like, basically, it's kind of embarrassing, but when I was, like, about maybe, like, 5 years old, my brother just kind of took me down and, like, peed in my mouth. And
wow.
That's about, huh?
But that's, I don't know, that's more funny than it is molestation.
Yeah, exactly.
How old's your brother?
He's about 5 or 6 years older than me.
How old were you?
I was
five.
About 4 or 5.
Could he have ejaculated in your mouth?
Oh, maybe
thought
please.
No. Because, see, that's the thing. I think he thought that was, like, sex.
Sure, why even entertain that?
He was so young, too, so it's not really a big deal.
It's a pretty big deal.
It's medium big.
I mean, I guess it's a big deal because I remember it, so. I mean,
yeah. All right, but that's not the reason.
That had nothing to do with that, I don't think.
But whatever happened to the brother that made brother do that, did behave like that, was also happening to CJ.
I've peed on hundreds of my
you
friends.
You didn't put the penis in the mouth and pee on them. In the mouth.
No.
Okay.
Was it in the mouth?
He didn't say it was in the mouth.
Yes, he did.
No, I said he peed in his mouth, but didn't say in the mouth.
It was in the mouth.
It was in the mouth.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, true, Mr. Wright all the time over here, Mr. I don't know about Bandini Mountain or Chaco or anything.
Sorry to have made you feel so defensive.
Well, no, I mean, he said he peed in his mouth, and you just, you saw it as putting the mouth and peeing. I got range.
I know. You can brew. You can sit in the front seat and pee in somebody's mouth in the back.
Yeah.
I know you've done that.
No, I've done some great urination stuff. I whizzed on my friend's leg underneath a booth at a diner. You know, he's just sitting there eating. I was whizzing on his leg. And the thing about that is when you're wearing jeans and like boots and socks and stuff, and someone's whizzing on your knee, it's a lot, and it's out of context. It's not like you guys are, you know, running around on some deserted beach or something. You're sitting at a diner. It takes a good 5 minutes for it to register. I mean, by then, you're empty. I could tell some stories.
That's good times.
Yeah, it's right at body temperature. It's just nothing.
Really. We didn't know until a little bit later.
He'd evacuated his bladder.
I knew he knew when his iced tea came flying at me. That's when I suspected something. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, it's time to give some thanks where thanks is due, as we usually do on Thursday. I want to thank producer Ann for doing a wonderful job all week. Junior, producer Lauren for doing a fantastic job filling in for Ann when necessary. I want to thank Magic Finger One, engineer Anderson, for sliding the potentiometers.
Whatever.
I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. She still works for us, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
Doing a great job on the phones. Brian doing a great job on the phones. He still works for us, Drew?
Yeah.
And Chris, our producer, engineer, I should say, over here at K-Rock. And
whatever.
Course, the band Thrice. So, did I forget anybody?
Did you say Anderson?
No, I said Anderson earlier. No. All right. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
In a world without justice, one man stands alone.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.